Eurythmics. When Tomorrow Comes, River 1467. It's 7:24. Joining me for a Friday morning chat, of course, public holiday Friday, it's our federal member for Mallee, Dr. Anne Webster. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, Jase. Always great to be with you.
Great to have you here. All right, let's get to it. By the way, first and foremost, did you feel the earthquake on Wednesday?
You know, I didn't. I have to say I did not.
Yeah.
I have been through an earthquake before because I lived in Gippsland when some of the terrible ones were happening in the 70s. And yeah, I do know what it feels like. And no, nothing moved around me, really? Not even my own feet.
We had a couple of individuals in the region saying that they saw their chandeliers move and whatnot, which was quite interesting. But
yeah.
The biggest earthquake in Victoria's history.
Yeah, perfect timing, don't you think?
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect timing.
A couple of
caps
memes.
Off a great year or two.
A couple of memes on Facebook saying this is Dan Andrews calling through to China saying send through the earthquake. I don't know.
You have to laugh, honestly. You have to laugh or you cry.
Yeah. Hey, protest going on in Melbourne. What are your thoughts on this absolutely devastating tragedy?
Yeah, look, I've thought long and hard about this and every day presents new photos and pictures of people who are out there protesting, and I think that this situation is incredibly complex.
Mm.
I think there are people who are highly distressed by not having a job to go to, having lost their mortgages, you know, losing family members. There's a lot of distress in our communities and we need to acknowledge that as governments. You know, if we fail to actually hear the heartbeat of our nation, then we're failing, period. We may save physical lives, but we're losing people and we're losing social fabric as a nation where we bond together, where we do stuff together because we're Australians. And what we see in the protests are, yes, we've got people who misbehave and who are being violent, and under no circumstances do I support that, endorse it, think it's the right thing at all. It's the wrong thing to do. But the fact is that leaders are not listening. They're not listening. And as I've said to you on many occasions, I believe that there could have been and still should be far more proportionate responses to what's going on. Melbourne is a case on its own, but in our region, for example, we've got businesses closing, we've got people losing left, right and centre.
Spanish Grill.
Spanish Bar and Grill, just, that's a tragedy. You know, I'd really feel for Ryan and the team. And the fact of the matter is that it need not have been. You know, we are still under restrictions where 10 people is the maximum for a venue that could have 200. Look at the Workers Club. It's just, it's an outrage that we have medical advice and epidemiological evidence to support these decisions, but it's never made transparent.
We don't know. It's the faceless.
Yeah.
It's the faceless world of what's going on. I just don't get that part of it, Anne. We don't know who they are.
No.
I mean, it could be made up.
Yeah. Well, hello.
It probably is.
It could be political, for example, for whatever reason, you know, to keep regions under a little bit of pain while Melbourne's going through so much. It's just, it's not good enough.
No.
When 4 square metre ruling, for example, was satisfactory and agreed across Australia with that kind of parameter, but now we're 10 people to a venue that could have 200, 300, 400 or
safely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we've kind of escaped the shutdown of the construction industry for our local region, but do you think Daniel Andrews shutting down the construction for 2 weeks in Melbourne was the right direction?
Look, the need for people to be hygienic, compliant in that regard, you know, Delta is Delta. I think he's going to feel the pain of that decision, frankly, and it's not just those who, you know, smashed the CFMEU building and hurled abuse and bottles at Setker and others, but I think that for him even to have the favourites, the 11 projects that are ongoing because they're so critically important, well, I'm sorry, if Delta is going to spread in the construction industry, it's going to spread on those sites too. Like, it's just, there's not meaningful, consistent. Mm. There are just so many issues around contradictory rules and behaviours that I think, you know, are driving us all mad.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the policing of the protests in Melbourne. I've never seen rubber bullets being used in Australia ever.
No.
Had to hear about that.
It's devastating.
I didn't believe it. I thought, no, that can't be true. It's not rubber bullets, but they were.
No, and look, people have commented about the police state, the Victoria, the police state. We're not a police state. I read in one of the newspapers this morning, I thought, well, aren't we? Like, what have we come to? The state of emergency powers have been put in place. The Andrews government can do and say whatever they like, put in place whatever rules they like, and there is nothing any of us can do about it. Are we surprised that people are just losing the plot and protesting?
Yeah, it's a very ugly look down there. All right, I want to ask you, let's get to John Setka, his comments on Wednesday, sending the morons from Melbourne up to Mildura to pick fruit. He's apologised for it. He apologised for it on Breakfast with Me yesterday morning. But what are your thoughts on this? Apology accepted, or do you think it was just such a stupid thing to say? And considering you've been campaigning so hard to get pickers in this region and make sure we've got a stability moving forward for our farmers, that would have been hard for you to listen to, I'd imagine.
Oh, look, it was insulting. Fundamentally, it's insulting to imply that sending people who are trouble in Melbourne to an area where it doesn't matter, you know, that's the implication. And his apology, I'm sorry, for somebody who to say, I apologise if my comments were taken out of context, that's not an apology, Mr. Setka. That's not actually an apology.
Can I ask, do you think that John was just speaking off the cuff from a moment of frustration, and we all do that from time to time, we're still not good enough?
Look, absolutely. You know, our choice to ignore a comment that was frankly insensitive and insulting, that's each of us have that choice to do that. And I don't care what Mr. Setka says fundamentally. It doesn't change the way I think about our agricultural workforce and our producers. Yep. And, you know, I think we've got more spine than that. But I'm commenting on the kind of apology, which is not an apology.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Moving forward, let's talk about the ag visa. What's happening? Apparently there's some red tape.
What I'm pleased about is that there have been changes to the Pacific Labor Scheme and trying to reduce red tape for producers and for approved employers who do the workforce garnering for producers. And that's very welcome. We're still at a point where quarantine issues need to be resolved. I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the lobbying that I've been doing and working with local industry and with all levels of government to try and deliver quarantine that will match our workforce needs, and looking potentially at a local solution. I've met with Home Affairs several times now and Department of Ag as well. The Department of Home Affairs in the Minister's Office have now met with Victorian Government. Victorian Government did send me a response to one letter that I'd written around the workforce issues, which was not helpful at all. And we're still at a point waiting for the Victorian government to approve quarantine measures, whether it's a local solution with Quarantine Services Australia in the line of what we've been fighting for, or whether it is some existing facility somewhere, wherever that is. We need the Victorian government to step up here. Yep. So when I have heard nothing since I last spoke to you about this issue, I keep annoying people, of course, because that's my job.
Yep.
But, you know, I have no clear understanding of any change yet.
It might take a little while to get there, but it's, you know, something we need to continue fighting for.
Absolutely. And the ag visa workforce can start next week.
Yes,
that's how great it is.
Yep.
But without quarantine to match the need, then those workers can't come in.
Yep. Just quickly to wrap up, we're running out of time, but I want to just quickly mention one of the articles in the Mildura Weekly this morning. John Dooley joining me a little later on, but he talks about the exhaustion of our police officers monitoring, making sure we don't have anybody coming to the region who shouldn't be. Just any thoughts on our local officers?
Look, I just commend our police force. I'm sure that they struggle with some of these restrictions as well, that they have a job to do, and they have to police and uphold those restrictions as they've been made by the Andrews government. And I know some of them personally, and I know that some, you know, really struggle with them. So, you know, hats off to them that they just keep doing their job. This is an incredibly wearying time. And, you know, I guess it's a time to be kind. You know, if you see a copper, reach out and say you're doing a great job, mate, because they are. They're doing an incredible job.
Dr. Ann Webster, it's always good to have you in the studio. We'll do it again in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
It's the sound that's got Sunraysia talking. But what exactly is it? Well,